Winnebago Broadcasting Station, BBSRadio.com, and live on Google Hangouts. This is Adventures into Sovereignty, and this is your host, Andrew Bartzis, the Galactic Historian, and I am joined by my intrepid co-host, Rebecca Cope. Welcome to the show, Rebecca. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, Andrew, and I'm just going to tell you something. It sure was more fun doing this show last Friday night, sitting there on the couch with you. You were on my side of the country instead of way back on yours. That was a lot of fun last week.
That was a lot of fun and tiring, but absolutely worth every second that we spent at the event and recording the event afterwards. And I have to say that we have seen so many stories of people coming to this event and having their rights, their due process absolutely walked over, their paperwork's rejected. And we even had a lady that came to us that has suffered from severe electromagnetic poisoning, and her house lived next to power lines. And when we heard her story and we interviewed her, it was extremely touching for the moment, because if it wasn't Duke Energy, if it wasn't the courts, it was other people coming forward and saying, hey, this is not fair, and something is really wrong. And it reminded me why I joined New Earth Nation, why I do what it is I do with the Galactic History, why I chose to work with all these wonderful people out here who want to make change, because we cannot let the travesties and injustices go on any further.
And you know what was so fascinating to me? Here, Beth Sturdivant, who wrote this beautiful book, Backyard Secret Exposed, and that's her website, by the way, backyardsecretexposed.com. Beth Sturdivant was the EMF person that came in and shared her story with us. And do you know what was so exciting for me? She had a win. She's the first person who ever was able to get a disability income from the EMF sickness because she was so thorough in her research. She proved it to everybody, and she was able, you know, that every little win for somebody like that is a very, very, very significant thing. And so she shared that with us as she is slowly regaining her health after moving from the house that literally made her sick.
And we are going to be interviewing Beth here in the next couple weeks, and I want to make sure that people understand that this incredible woman, you know, was crippled by this electromagnetic poisoning, as well as her own children, and even the people that live close to her are experiencing issues. And a big corporation like Duke Energy, they actually tried to send her a non-disclosure agreement in a secret way to make her confused in what she was signing. But she was smart. She didn't sign it.
You know, that was the thing that impressed me most of all this past weekend. You know, we all got there like on Wednesday, and I have to say a big, big shout out to Jenny and Wes at the beautiful, beautiful Lake Norman house that they call home, because they just shared it with all of us for the last week. That was sort of our headquarters. And it was one of the most fascinating things for us to be able to have, like almost like a big house party, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
It was really, really fun.
Yeah, Beth and Wes, yeah. And I know you guys are out there listening. Thank you very much from the bottom of my heart. And for Rebecca, too. We had an exquisite time working with some really intelligent go-getting leaders, people. And to have that experience along with the event and to see all those people there, it just reminds me that the candles are not wavering in the wind. They're big torches and they're burning strong.
Well, that was the thing that really impressed me the most. You know, you think about people coming together for an event like this, and they were really coming together to have the training by Rod Class and Dwight Class and Carl Weston. But there were the most intelligent, heavily researched individuals that I had ever had the pleasure to meet. It's like everybody in the room had done their due diligence. They had really spent the time learning and understanding the court systems, the rules that were being broken. You know, you couldn't pull the wool over these people's eyes, because thanks to Rod's teaching and thanks to their own research, they knew what was going on, and they were willing to stand up for their rights. So I was just deeply impressed by all of that.
And some of the individual stories that came forward, one in particular, the gentleman that we interviewed the first day, his story is amazing. He has absolute proof that the Corporation of United States of America has many names and that they were out of business multiple times.
Yeah. Boy, I mean, you know, and he did this. His story is one where he literally gave up 8 years of his life for a false sentence. You know, he was put in prison for 8 years. He was a military, you know, a military veteran who was a part of the special forces. You know, he had a very, very stellar career. And to be put up on a charge the way he was and then come out of there determined to do something about it. So these are the types of people that, you know, we had everything from that to this beautiful nurse from Alabama who has never, you know, never, ever, ever broken a law, hasn't done anything except had an expired tag and ended up for 3 days in jail for contempt of court.
Yep.
It's just beginning to show how much the rule of law is out the door in the courts in America. And people look at us and say, well, why are you doing what you do? You know, I see some of the comments sometimes, and it's like, same old, but the truth of it is, if we don't pay attention and we don't learn to stand up for ourselves, then you know what? We get what we deserve. And that's
exactly
about the size of it, yeah.
And some of the things that we learn from the event, Colonel Edward Mendelhaus speech, absolutely wonderful speech. And in the show that I was doing earlier today with Veronica King, I mentioned that speech. And people who have never been exposed to law and sovereignty typed Edward Mendelhaus, and they discovered one of the most unique, obvious, right out in front stories of how the conspiracy of the Illuminati cabal was written into our Constitution 101 years ago.
Yeah, and you know, that was really, that was a clincher. There have been two things that have come out just in the last month that have been real clinchers. Now, you know, being a student of all of this for years, mm-hmm. I had read the Edward Mendelhaus article, and of course, the Lindbergh speech and the McFadden mm-hmm. speech. And if anybody hasn't read those, to me, those are just three
keys.
Absolutely key pieces that you need to read. And so I had read that, but it had been quite some time. And as I began to understand how the War Powers Act and the license and registration ties everybody into this equation, you can just see all of that in that Edward Mendelhaus article, mm-hmm. the speech before Woodrow Wilson. You can just really, really see how carefully planned everything has been.
Exactly. And even from his own words, the people will never know what a real court was. They will never know what we did to them over 100 years. And by the time it's too late, yep. there'll be nothing they can do about it.
Well, I disagree with him.
Me too.
I think that people are waking up in record numbers. And it's like, you know what, it's up to us. And there's just plenty of people stepping up to the plate and saying, okay, what am I going to do? And there's just a lot of things. You know, it's a simple thing. With New Earth Nation, one of the most important things we're encouraging people to do is to sign the Declaration of Individual Sovereignty. You know, understand what this inherent court of record is. Because the inherent court of equity, because guess what? The micro nation is you. Your own space contained within your body, within the four corners, shall we say. Like standing on a piece of paper, you see the four corners. And you have this space that is yours. You are that micro nation. You are sovereign within your being. And when you begin to understand all of these concepts and how that works, within your own responsibility, your liability, your transparency, then you begin to have a greater sense of how much you can affect your own life and your own sovereign issues. And, you know, it just gives you a whole lot more information about how to conduct your life.
Exactly. And then when you realize sovereignty is meant to help you run your life. It's so that you have a more clear understanding that your free will is used every day. You do not just shove off your free will to have a police officer tell you to go 5 miles an hour less. We all should know this fact. But we deal with the police officers because over many generations we've given our power to them in this concept that it's for the best of the people, the best of the people. 80,000 people were able to change prohibition with paper writing. 80,000. And we can change this. Exactly. We can change this whole system with less than 80,000 people. What we really, really need is people that have balls over your backbone. Why? Because you have to challenge the belief system of the people who are in power with a neutral understanding of this is paperwork and there's a truth in this paperwork and that the truth we're presenting is constitutional law, not statutes and codes that were created for an administration. Because we are dealing with administrative courts. We are not dealing with real courts.
And so the trick is to make them be responsible to the rule of law in their own statutes and codes. It's not for you. Those statutes and codes don't define your responsibilities. Right. It defines theirs. And so as we really begin to get that message and quit reading them the same way, then we begin to understand how to write our own paperwork so that we can get in there and stand up and do what needs to be done.
Exactly.
Go ahead. Okay. Well, speaking of which, that was one of the most interesting things that we did this whole weekend. Because, you know, they have the State Justice Institute in 1996. We have the transcript of what all this bunch of judges got together and had to say about people who are what they call pro se litigants. That means somebody who comes into the court without a lawyer. They're standing up on their own behalf. And these judges, starting with taxpayer-funded money from at least 1996, they meet four times a year. And so they started defining people who are the pro se litigants as paper terrorists. And they started saying, now, if they come into your courtroom, we're going to, you know, here's the way that you're going to overcome their paperwork. You're not going to pay any attention to them. And we're going to uphold all of this in appeal. So no matter what they try to do, here's how you defeat them. And they called us paper terrorists. So as we were just fooling around this past week and coming up with ways that we were going to start holding them accountable, I think you were the one who coined the phrase, Operation Spitwad.
That is correct. Right after that, actually right before that first Friday show, we were trying to figure out what we can do to deal with the system. And Operation Spitwad came out of Operation Ramrod 1 and 2. And Operation Ramrod 1 and 2 is where we challenged the Facebook blocking heuristic that the CIA and the NSA use to block posts from being shared with specific types of guests or Facebook pages. And there are many pages out there, Facebook pages, that have 500,000, 1 million, or 2 million likes on them. And we are very, very close friends with all the people that are administrators for those. And they know well about the Facebook blocking heuristics. And what we did is designed a actual false web page with a redirection so people could get to our webinar because they were blocking the actual webinar that was going on at that moment with the types of guests that were on. And we went around it and we forced 10,000 likes in 1 hour onto a fully blocked site. That's Operation Ramrod 1. Operation Ramrod 2, we ended up getting 32,000 live viewers, and when at a time where the stream was actually trying to read 600 or 700, and we set up a counter system, and then we started emailing a lot of the stuff to the other Facebook administrators that were operating other pages, and then they sent in a mass email to all of the Facebook employee people to stop blocking our material or we'd shut the system down. And that was Ramrod 2. And now Operation Spitwad, going along with that, is a way to treat the system with a notice, a massive notice on a single day. Change or we're going to come and get you.
A notice of felony to every judge out there. And there were like 3,340 or so.
3,084. There are simultaneously received felonies, notice of felonies for no oath, for false bond, for no court of standing, and for any one of the 1,000 cases that are in front of them, for sedition, treason, or anything else that we want to put under those felony warrants, for which the system says that they can go ahead and prosecute people without what? A victim.
Yeah.
There must be a victim.
There must be an injured party.
And every single judge out there knows, and every single prosecutor out there knows, there is not an injured party.
Nope. When you have, and you know, that's the real distinction. When you begin to understand how the courts are bringing us in as war criminals, you can prove it, because a traffic ticket is a criminal charge. A child support enforcement is a criminal charge. A home foreclosure is a criminal charge. Well, there is no authority in the Constitution for criminal charges. There is none. If you go read Article 3, and then you read the 11th Amendment, Article 3 gives the judiciary one set of powers, and the 11th Amendment takes it away. So they have no criminal jurisdiction. No judge can seat a criminal jurisdiction. The criminal jurisdiction can only be seated when a jury of your peers tries you when there is an injured party. Now, that is constitutionally mandated. So how in the world are they getting away with treating us under criminal charges in the courts of America?
Exactly.
And there is only one place in the statutes and codes that allows that, and that is under Section 50, which is called War Powers. And I can't ever remember it. It's the defense. It's like the Department of Homeland Security kind of thing. Is followed in 50 U.S.C. Chapter 3, subsection 23. That's where the criminal jurisdiction comes in. The prosecutors are bringing you in for a breach of the peace. You did something with, you know, you had to have a license because the people of the United States are registered as alien enemies. You have to have a license. You have to have a marriage license. You have to have birth certificates. All of these things are license and registration because you are considered an enemy of the state, and you have to have the license in order to have permission to do things that would normally not require a license. So when you're brought in for driving 5 miles over the speed limit or something stupid like that you're being charged, you're breaching the peace, in their opinion, and being charged with war crimes. Come on.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So I mean, they have no authority. They have taken on that authority because that's how they are able to embezzle the federal funding that was set up when the property of the people was conscripted. Through the War Powers Act of 1917, all property, including your children, was conscripted for the use of the state. And then they had to create a promise to pay all of your debts because you didn't have any property in order to pay it. And instead of doing that, then basically what's happening is all of these agencies are embezzling the federal funds. And that's what's going on throughout these courtrooms in America. They're charging you with their own crimes and making you suffer for it.
You know,
it's pretty incredible.
It's a scam that goes all the way up, Todd, a facade, a fake world. Now, on some of the other shows that I do, I describe this, but this is visceral. You can go back into your own books of law and your own study books and see from the master of the obvious point how they are going directly after you. And some of the stuff Rod brought up as information in how to deal with some of the judges and his different perspective, it was going back to the administrative codes of their books, many of these books hundreds of years old, because they make these books scarce so that you can't find it. You know, so much of the stuff of Library of Congress or the stuff from the congressional floor, we find out laws were never passed with all members seated. We find laws that were never even brought to the House and Senate and still considered passed. Yeah. You know, we found up so many travesties on our legislative and executive branch.
Well, and this is how we know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that the War Powers Act was never repealed. Because one of the attorney generals came back in, and one of his North Carolina cases and made such a really big deal. Oh, he keeps bringing all this bankruptcy stuff in, but that was repealed in 1925. And these people make the dumb mistake of giving Rod Class that detailed information. Mm-hmm. And so Rod Class goes in there and he goes right down into the books, exactly what they, you know, where they're bringing this in. And so as a result of that attorney general from North Carolina giving him that little tidbit, we were able to trace back in to how there was a gap of 9 months in the congressional record for the year 1925. And they went back in and tried to repeal some of this as if it had never happened. And so he was able to trace it back and prove that nothing had ever been lifted, that we were still most assuredly under the War Powers Act and under the state of emergency. So they gave him that paper trail, and he was able to follow it. Gets to be quite interesting when you have people who really dig in and want to know where the trail leads so they can do something about it. And so, you know, it feels like it would be a very dull subject, but when you realize that we have all been set up in the manner that we have, you can't help but get in there and start paying attention, because you know what? That's what consciousness is about. That is a very, very important part. You become aware. You know, you become awake and aware. You are not in denial of all of the things that are going on around you in this way. And so as you really want to bring our justice system, or as you say, our justness system into the forefront, then you have to be willing to follow what has caused it to go so far off base. And so that's a big part of what we're doing with Operation Spitwad and the other things like that. We're just simply reminding all of the judges where their real responsibility lies.
Right.
Because that's an important way to bring it back to where it needs to go.
In this modern day of court processors, court servers, FedEx, UPS, postal system, there is no way they can stop en masse filings. And what we are talking about is very, very clear. For anyone that is a pro se litigant that's listening right now, you know your paperwork's ignored. For anyone that's getting new into this and is beginning to understand, no matter what, whether you have your pro se litigant or you have a lawyer, if the judge wants to ignore the rule of law, he can, will, and does frequently. So what we are going to do is we're going to define a way for people to write their own paperwork, and in a single day, we're going to give a notice, and then all courts throughout the United States are going to receive 2 or 3 million pieces of paper, notices of felony, notices of standing, notices that we are learning who you are and what you are, and that we are no longer going to take it. And when each courthouse, each county clerk sees a stack of paper from each individual person that's defining the rule of law, what rules they are breaking, and saying, we are changing, we're removing all of your straw men from office and bringing in real people.
Absolutely. And you know, that is the story that we keep telling over and over, how just 80,000 people filing into the courts all across America stopped prohibition in its mm-hmm. tracks. And this is the same kind of thing. It's like, look, who's going to stand up to the judges if not us?
Right.
And as we begin to understand all of this, you know, this is a big part of what we do. There's just, you know, just ways that we can stand up. We don't have to get out in the streets, you know, that doesn't seem to be very effective. But there are certain things that we can do that just bring attention to
right.
what we're doing.
One of the things that we learned about is the tort claims. Very, yeah. very, very important. Once you know that a administration or a judge within the administration is violating standing, violating oath, violating bond, and doing all sorts of other things, you do have a remedy, and that's called the tort claim. And we learned this from Dwight, and specifically when he was explaining what was going on with some of these judges. And once you do a tort claim response the way Dwight was laying out, if they respond to it, they're acknowledging it. And once they get 3 tort claims for felonies on them, they lose their insurance carrier permanently.
Yep. And that is one thing that can be done to make them know that we are going to hold them accountable to the rule of law. It's just as simple as that. Just as simple as that.
You know, and it's something, another part of Operation Spitwad was, well, we learned that Rod has an impeachment class action lawsuit against all 1,200 federal judges existing.
Right.
And when we brought up the concept of what Operation Spitwad could be and combined it with that concept, it is literally a broadside to the system where the individual people look at the template forms of writing the paperwork. They'll have hundreds of different things to choose from, or they can describe it from their own way. And there's just a common day where we all pick up a pen and ink, and we signed our wedding signatures on a piece of paper from our own individual courts of record, indicating to the clerks of court that they no longer have any power over us, or tort claims, or whatever else that you want to do, because we are aiming to put 1,000,000 pieces of paper in every courthouse.
And you know what? I say we go ahead and set the date for that. I'm going to say that we want to choose the September 21st date, since we've been working with all of these key dates like this. Why don't we set up September 21st as the day we're going to shoot for to get all of this done? That gives us about 6 weeks to get all of this really organized and ready. So Right. Be paying attention, watching out for the shows as we'll begin to give you ways that you can get involved in this. If you want to get more information, you can email me at rebecca@humanitad.org. That's humanitad.org. rebecca@humanitad.org, and just put Operation Spitwad in the email and let me know, you know, that you're interested, and we'll be sure to get you on the mailing list so that you can get the information as we get this underway.
And some of the other things that came up, other concepts, we learned about letters of marquee and reprisal. Rod Class has 8 separate letters of marquee of reprisal that are stamped with congressional seals. He is a constitutional bounty hunter. And what that really, really means when you get into the depths of the understanding, that is your private attorney general that can go and collect corrupt judges. That is why it was written into the Constitution that way, knowing full well that inevitably there would be corrupt judges, and there has to be a private public side, private attorney general, that can go after these people independent of the state, because the state could be easily complicit to the crimes and be unaware of it.
Yes, and this was a result of the 1866 law that came right after the Civil War, when a lot of problems were going on in the country. And our legislators were smart enough to put a provision in there to be sure that the people were protected. So, you know, we are very lucky in the United States. Santi keeps reminding us over and over again, when we despair of what's going on in America, he just continues to say, you have no idea how much you have in America that is still not there in other countries.
Right.
So we are blessed in many, many ways. And at the same time, the level of corruption has just gone out of sight with our banks and with the courts, you know, and it's all about the money. Mm-hmm. So that's a big part of what's going on.
As we
come to really just understand what's going on, then we have to be willing to say, okay, let's do something about it. Let's not just ignore it. Let's do something.
And one of the other things that was really popular during the event is when we began explaining what the Micronations Treaty means to sovereign beings under the Trading with the War Powers Act, we discovered how you can get a license to be considered trading with the enemy. And once you do that, you have your own coinage, your own mint, your own self-producing system, and that allows you to exchange non-treasury notes, non-Federal Reserve notes, and not be a felon in any way, shape, or form. And literally, so you are acting as a sovereign being in the system that cannot identify you as a war criminal.
Yep. So you know, that's going to be some really important information going forward. And really, signing the peace treaty, the New Earth Nation Peace Treaty, is going to give people the jurisdiction outside of the corporations posing as government. So that's going to be a key component of our program as we're putting together this international tribunal for natural justice going forward. So there are a lot of things that we're really working to bring into manifestation during 2014. You know, we just never seem to run out of ideas and energy to accomplish this. One of the other things that came up this weekend was that we are going to be strategizing to teach 1,000 private attorney generals who have the same type of education and the same type of ability and the same type of congressional mandate under Rod's letters of marque and reprisal. So we'll be setting those up if you're interested in something like that. And then the other thing that you and Santi and Lamont really just got into quite a bit was this PAG show on GAIM TV. Why don't you talk about that a little bit? Because that was exciting.
I have got some connections at GAIM TV. I've been looking to do a show there myself. And one of the things that you do is you go to the big radio stations, you get your show up and running, which I've done previously with other radio stations. And the last time I looked at GAIM TV, I went through the whole process, and I'm like, this is absolutely perfect that we can do a cops-like show where we see the PAGs in action with the heartfelt stories that Carl or Dwight or Rod deals with in those wonderful cases of the people we saw show up there, Jamie and King Kirby and all of those other people who had incredible stories that if given an opportunity with the right kind of recording system and proper advertisement, their stories will change this world.
Well, that, and then they will also be able to network so that people with similar stories, mm-hmm. you know, they're all willing to reach out to others and say, hey, if you're experiencing something like this, get in touch with us. We want to help you. So there was a lot of real networking and people willing to reach out and help others who are dealing with similar circumstances. So there will be a lot of really important tie-ins as we get things like that going over the next, you know, over the next year as we really, really get concentrated into moving this whole energy forward as we just really begin to stand up as sovereign individuals ourselves and say, hey, we want peace and prosperity, and by gosh, we intend it.
Exactly. And something I learned from a very human perspective, we were wearing New Earth Nation press badges as we were recording there, and this gentleman, Paul, part of the National Liberty Alliance, came up to me and handed me a stack of paperwork, and it was a request for asylum.
Yep.
And there I was, the spiritual person, in a Rod class constitutional reform and understanding event, and there's this incredible person, Paul, that came up to us and handed me this incredible paperwork, and I contemplated that as a spiritual person, for the first time in our history, a United World Global Micronations Treaty, and they're coming to ask for asylum from a system of domination and control, which I've described so many times from so many different perspectives. And there that was, that piece of paper that said asylum.
Yes,
and it's where the gravity of what was going on there not only hit me at a deeply at a personal and a heart level, that it showed me that there are smart people out there, smart, smart people.
Yes, who are really just willing to say, I've had enough, and I don't want to deal with the corruption and being thrown in jail for nothing, or having my van just snatched and kidnapped and never being able to get it back, or if it's damaged when I get it back, never being able to hold the people who damaged it accountable. You know, so we saw all kinds of stories like that. And then Paul, who also has worked with J.T. McBride in Divine Providence, he did some smashingly good interviews with Rod Class. And so as we get a chance, we'll be putting some of those up. He'll be talking about his D.C. case, did an excellent job on that. So we'll get some of those posted in the coming days. Why don't you talk a little bit about the video, the capability, and what we really got going this week as a part of the plan going forward, you know, with the shows and being able to have his information, really Rod Klass's information, really put out there for the researchers.
We got about 65 plus hours of raw footage. And in that raw footage, I mean, you were there for a lot of it. I mean, I don't think you were there for maybe you were doing another interview when another one was going on. But you have a gist of what was there. And to help the people understand, we've got lots of whistleblower testimony. We have lots of case and investigator stuff. We have people's stories. We have them at talking at the most advanced levels of understanding statutes, codes, and law. We have them looking at the War Powers Act, each from their own individual perspective, coming together as a brain trust, and we've got that brain trust being created on film. We have a tremendous amount of legacy, and then we have the source documents and the source understanding of where all the securitization and fraud on your Social Security numbers, your IDs, as well as your birth certificates began, and we walked through it at such a deep level that, you know, some of the other people that had a little bit different helped put together the other little shadowy pieces that all of a sudden became clear. And what we're going to get out of the 65 plus hours of raw footage is a codex of how to deal with the system on an administrative level. And the whole point of Rod having this event was to create this codex for you to look at the administrative side as an alternative to battling the court head on, which has no intention as recognizing you as a pro se litigant or a defendant with a lawyer or anything else in the court. You are there to create securitized bonds on your court case, and that's it.
Yep. And so we did get all of this. And you know what? When we had our whistleblower there, being willing to tell us the story that had been part of her career and why she was really interested in the source documents, it was just absolutely amazing to see the Social Security Act of 1935 right there on the screen, and Rod narrowed it down to Section 501, where it is as plain as day that there is $1.8 million allocated per live birth per every person born during that consensus period. And then in Section 502, it clearly explains that the state has $1 million per year for every year that you are alive to take care of. With this War Powers Act, the way they did it, they allocated those funds to take care of your expenses, your debt, and your contribution to the War Powers. So we've got all of that, and it's there in black and white, and nobody can argue with it. When you see it there, you know, these are what we call the source documents. And when you see it in black and white, it's there. And it's just right there on the screen as we were talking about it. And then the other one was the H.R. 3474, Section 666, which just really, again, here is one of those source documents that lays out so much of what is going on in the United States that, you know, they've done it in plain sight but haven't told us about how AIPAC is a part of, you know, the Israeli lobby is a very big part of what controls the United States government, and it's there in black and white.
Sections,
you just have to read
Section 703 of the H.R. 3474 Regal Community Development Act is where you'll find the source documents of why our ambassadors cannot negotiate in good faith when it comes to Israel, because there's language that's dictated by our Congress and approved that puts them in the truth and the history in the false.
Yep. Oh, you know, it's quite interesting when you have to read it for yourself. And you know, it's not complicated. It's really just not complicated. You get to bring it down to where you have to say, oh my gosh, just like reading the Edward Mendel House documentation. And if you haven't read that, I would just Google it. You know, Google the speech that he gave before Woodrow Wilson and really get a sense of what they did 101 years ago to set all of these things in motion that we're now living under. And it'll make you wake up a little bit.
not only will it make you wake up, it'll make you want to wake other people's up by reading that too. Reading that yes. also. Now, I had also read the Mendel House speech many years earlier, and there are other people that teach about it. But when you read it viscerally for yourself and realize that it was 101 years ago that that speech was made live in front of the Congress, you'll have a much deeper understanding of why these courts are the way they are now.
Yep. And you know, you just once you understand it, then you just simply, you know, you just say, hey, they're not going to get away with this. What am I going to do? And you just begin to look for ways to stand and honor yourself. I think that's the most important part of it. You sort of strip back the curtain to know who they are compared to who you are. And you're willing to stand in your own sovereign responsibility from that point then.
Yeah, sovereign responsibility. And that yep. responsibility is to your free will. And that free will is ultimately what your heart is saying. And there's so many people with a confused heart who want to believe that the police officers, that they're all good. Well, we know that they're not. Every time they give a ticket for $800 to a mother with three kids, knowing full well that ticket's going to make those kids starve, or worse, have to steal, and that they have no discretionary ability or administrative ability to say, no, I must follow these quotas. I must do this. I must become an enemy to the people for me to survive in this costume. Then there are other police officers who learn how to deal with their own system and won't give that $800 ticket to that mother, or won't worry about the lack of an insurance card from a kid that's going to school, knowing full well that kid's getting straight A's. You know, that, yep. that's been taken away from our police officers, and that's ultimately what we, both Rebecca, myself, and the New Earth Nation wish to have as the rule of law, is that sovereign individual beings know their rights, and that police officers know their duty to protect and serve by a very powerful oversight system that makes sure that something like the system we have can never exist again.
And when you really get into the rules and regulations that underpin the job duties of any of the law enforcement agents, you realize that their duties do not include the ability to be a highwayman on the, you know, doing the robber baron stuff on the yeah. highway. That is not a part of their job description.
Enforcement.
And they're not public officials. They're not operating as an agency of the state. They're just a corporation out right. there, just like Walmart or any other security guards.
They are not.
And that's the truth.
Right. They're not here to be enforcing the arm of the insurance wing, making sure that people are on the street. The insurance companies can handle all of that. And they damn well should, because they could do a better job than what the police are doing. There are other things, like when there is no injured party. Example, a stoplight, or a drunk driving charge, or a possession of marijuana charge, there are no what? Victims.
No victims.
Injured parties.
You know, who did you injure by drinking that one beer that, you know, that you might blow something that's not going to cause anybody any problem? Did you run into anybody? You know, no, you didn't. So there is no injured party in that situation. And I'm not condoning drunk driving. I'm not saying that in any way, shape, or form.
We're using
that as an
example.
But you've got to be realistic. Yeah, you've got to be realistic about, you know, it's really a situation where you've got to do your own thinking. Mm-hmm. That's the most important part of it. You got to think about this, you know. Who says that going 5 miles over the speed limit, or, you know, I got a ticket one time for hitting a rolling stop and, you know, stopping long enough to make sure there wasn't anybody coming and then rolling on out into the highway. And, you know, I remember that because I just looked at the person who stopped me. I didn't believe it. You know, when he stopped me, it was so incredibly stupid. I just looked at him and said, you're not really stopping me for this. And he was so embarrassed. He knew better. He still gave me a ticket, but the fact that it was just my natural reaction. I was so incredulously questioning what his job, it was a setup from the get-go. Mm-hmm. He was pulled over on the side of the road. It was in Asheville, North Carolina. It was downtown area. And it was just so incredibly set up that he was getting people. Talk about somebody making his quotas right that day. He did. And it was just so foolish.
You know, some of the other things that can be used as examples, we can get down to the tax issue. Now, many people out there that aren't in deep into law know that the IRS is not a real government organization. Okay? They're a private corporation from Puerto Rico. Why are you sending your money to a private corporation of Puerto Rico with a constitutional law that's never been actually passed?
And you know what? I'm one of these people who follows things like this, and I remember that Grace Commission report in the 80s that Ronald Reagan did to put together where the IRS money went. And the Grace Commission came back and said that not one penny came to the government of the United States. This was one of those that Ronald Reagan commissioned that told the truth. 60% of it goes to the Vatican, 30% goes to the Queen of England, and 10% goes to pay the agents a bonus for collecting from the people who don't know better. It has nothing to do with the government of the United States. We've been so duped by all of this when, here again, just a little research, just a little opening your mind to the truth will let you know in no uncertain terms that this is not a legitimate tax. And that, here again, you're being charged under the War Powers Act. You're being, your property's being conscripted all over the place and used by the state. And then every little bit of it is taxed so that every resource that you have goes to somebody besides you.
Besides you. That's important to think. We the people, our taxes never actually go to us. And you wonder why our economy is broke, why our fiat money is the backing of the world. But we're going to come to a great understanding of some of the things that have changed in our world. You know, the Edward Mendelhaus speech is one thing. The Lindbergh speech is another. But then there are speeches that Jimmy Carter made, Ronald Reagan made, even George Bush, that indicated to the people, do something before there's no time left.
Do something. Yep. And who was it who was talking, in specific terms like that? As we're going through this, it's like, hey, we're waiting for the American people to wake up and do something. Our hands are tied. If they're not willing to stand up, why should we?
Well, that's why we're different. That's why we're on doing this radio show. That's why I traveled across the country and you traveled from where you were to be at this event, because we are acting as our own court of record, our own sovereign being, and teaching along the way, whether it's through radio or email. We are making sure that the people are empowered at every level, because if we don't, we are not helping our brothers and sisters. We are not changing the system.
It was the most fun to me this whole week. I just have to tell you, everybody looks at it and say, oh, everything is so serious. You're always so serious and you're such researchers and you always have such, serious demeanor about the shows. But the truth of it is, one of my favorite mentors is Maya Angelou. Mm-hmm. And I was reading her book. As a matter of fact, my motorhome is named Traveling Shoes in honor of Maya Angelou's book. All God's Children Need Traveling Shoes. That's just one of my favorite memoirs. And she was talking about all of her days, working side by side as the administrative director for Dr. Martin Luther King when he was doing the civil rights work in Alabama and across the nation. In the 50s and 60s, Maya Angelou was right there with him. and she knew all of these people. And she traveled from America to Africa and spent much time in a very similar situation that we did this past weekend, where all of us, what I prefer to call evolutionaries, were all gathered together sharing our experiences, sharing food, sharing fellowship, you know, just literally having a good time as we strategized and talked about the things that we could get going. Because the most important thing that we want to do is to make sure the people who want this information can get it in a way that they can easily understand. Instead of making it so hard to understand, if we can, you know, make it easy to grasp that there was a 1.8 million price tag put on your head when you were born, and 1 million went into this account every single year since then. So if you're 60 years old, you have had in that account $61.8 million deposited that's supposed to be, according to the War Powers Act, Section 7, there is never supposed to be any debt of yours that is an obligation of the United States government that is not settled and paid for you.
Right.
Well, how much of that $61.8 million have you ever seen? Why has it been taken from you? They're bandits. They're embezzling all that federal funding, because that's what it is. It's federal funding. Mm-hmm. Let's be real clear what we're saying here. That federal funding was supposed to fund the war effort and to pay the expenses of the people. It's there in black and white. You can't deny what's in that congressional record when you read it that specifically. So as you begin to get that understanding, then you know that somebody has stolen our birthright and done it with absolute intentionality, so that the people of the world are bankrupt. You know, they have created the ability to have the fiat currency for our use and then made sure that we didn't have any access to it. It's a pretty slick system that they've managed to pull off on us, and you know, we're the ones who are duped if we allow them to keep getting away with it.
And we're not going to. That's why people like us have come together on this giant radio station, simulcast into Google Hangouts, why we're putting together multiple events, why we're going to be training 1,000 private attorney generals, why we are running Operation Spitwad. The whole reason is to make sure people start to know we are here. We are in mass, and we can change the world with black ink on white paper.
Yeah, and then the major overarching project that we're into is setting up an international tribunal so that the judges, these are really, really stellar constitutional scholars and judges, can hear these cases that prove the fraud in the courts. And we have just a number of them ready to be heard already. If we can just get to the place where we can begin to hold one judge accountable, like this Kids for Cash, where the two judges were putting children just indiscriminately every which way they could and pocketing money as a result of it. Well, we have lots of cases like that. You know, if you haven't watched Kids for Cash, or if you're not familiar with it, that's just a really, really, really good story that shows how money has influenced the court system in the wrong way, and how our children are the ones who are being harmed by this. And so as we begin to hold these judges who are harming our people accountable to the rule of law, then, you know, it's a pretty daunting project just to think about what we're setting in motion here. But if we don't do it, who's going to?
Exactly. If we don't, who's going to?
Yep.
And that's a big, big, big statement that I'd like people to contemplate. If we don't, we the people, who does? Our corporate straw men, who we have no control over. That's who does.
Yep. Yeah. So, you know, I'm always saying I need good volunteers, because these are massive projects. And what New Earth Nation does is work on a voluntary basis. We just have beautiful ways to become involved in the projects that we're strategizing and working toward. We had quite a few volunteers come together this past week. And if you're one of those who would like to join this dynamic team, then by all means, you know, come join us. We're going to be having another event. I would say, you know, this month we're going to be putting another event together because we have so much going on that we need to get these stories and get more footage and start training the PAGs. So we're going to be doing more things. We'll make sure that we get these announcements out through the broadcast and through Google Hangouts and through the beautiful New Earth Oracle, which is going to come out monthly. So be sure you're on that list for the New Earth Oracle. I'll put all of the volunteer opportunities and how to get in and access those within New Earth Oracle in the Law and Governance Academy information. And then we'll get emails out to you and really do a good job of trying to keep you informed. But we really, really, you know, just invite everybody to come join our fun. And, you know, as we, and it is fun. There's no reason, you know, Operation Spitwad, come on now. You know, you remember Spitwads from your childhood days. And when you start thinking about papering the courts with Spitwads instead of paper terrorism, you know, it lightens up the mood of what we want to accomplish.
One of the other things that came up, this was more in comedy and jest, but it turned out to be a very real and serious subject matter after we all got done and laughing, and that was to have a person run for a local county or mayor, and that one side was going to run as the sovereign being, and the same person was also going to run as their straw man, and whichever one won was going to fire the other one so that the sovereign being could be in, to show people that you literally have a straw man and a sovereign side, and that even if you don't win, you are teaching people, and you could interview yourself. You could have your straw man that never says anything, that only follows the party line versus what the sovereign says. And we really encourage people out there that are theater oriented to begin to use the power of the flash mob and the straw man and the spitwad in your advantage, because you can tell stories through acting and metaphor that actually help people to get it.
You know, that's one of the coolest things about my job. I had this beautiful guy named Corbin, who is a musician, and he sent me his story, and he's doing a YouTube on his story, which we'll be posting in the New Earth Oracle for next month, and we'll be posting that on the International Tribunal site as we get it up. But the people who are sending me stories, these are people who are standing up and being willing to be counted. These are people, some of them have horror stories, like Beth with her EMF story, but her win, because she was the first one to be awarded her disability as a result of going before the courts and winning. So there are stories out there. And I just encourage people to get in touch with us and share those stories so that we can put them on, and, you know, the more of us who are willing to share our stories, because that's our human side. You know, that's the part that really makes this work that we do come alive.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, let me tell you something. If you want to know who had fun this week, you should have been in the midst of these 50-some-odd people that we worked with all week. And there wasn't, you know, it was the most fun. It was intense. There was a lot of work. But at the same time, it was incredibly empowering.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing. It was just incredibly empowering to work with people of this much heart and this much integrity.
Exactly. Heart and integrity. And it's the heart and integrity that brought people there as pro se litigants. It's brought people as there as attorney litigants. It is what brought people there as just observers, as investigators, as people that want to make change. It is their heart that brought them there. It isn't their mind. It isn't their need for money. It was their heart. And when we understand what your heart is telling you, that we all deserve a chance.
Yep.
There should not be a single starving child in this world, let alone this country, that there should be laws that are just for everyone. Justice should not be a blind angel. Justice should be an all-caring, all-knowing, all-seeing angel of forgiveness and peace.
And there should never be one person put in prison to have a for-profit private prison system be the ones who profit on the backs of our people. You know, that just isn't right. And it's, you know, it's up to us to free those people in those prisons who never should have been there in the first place. My heart goes out to them. Any of you who are listening, you know, my heart just goes out to you. And I know your ordeal. I know, I can't imagine what you're going through. And just know that there are people who care, and there are people who want to do something about it and who are willing to stand up and put their voices on the radio and do whatever we can to help move us to a place of accountability ourselves, because it is up to us to do the work. And, you know, that's really where we are. And we just appreciate everybody who takes the time to listen to all of these shows and to get in touch with us afterwards and to just share your comments, you know, on Google Hangouts and the other things that you do. You just don't know how much that means to us as we reach out to you through the airwaves and through the ways that we do. We appreciate you being there.
Yeah, not only do we appreciate you being there, we know that this audience is growing and growing and growing and growing. Each and every week we come and put a show, we get more and more emails about the stories. I have seen whistleblower testimony that will just blow people's minds. And I want to say that New Earth Nation is a volunteer organization, and I would like for you to go to the newearthnation.org webpage, look at the micro treaty, look at the volunteer page, and begin to say, what can I do? What can I do as an individual? Look at that treaty and go, if I sign this treaty, what does it mean? It means you're agreeing that there needs to be change. Look at the wording of that treaty. Go back to the Law and Sovereignty show. Rebecca, myself, Greg Paul, and Sasha Stone did defining what the New Earth Treaty is and how it works for everyone. Look at what the New Earth Market is and know that there should never be anyone that's charged with 10 consecutive life sentences for a small amount of pot on them. And there are cases like this all over the country. You know, people talk about, you know, the people that have got caught with 3 hits of LSD. Each one is a life sentence. How is that possible?
So unfair.
How is that possible?
So unfair.
Unfair. And there's no injured party.
Nope. No. And just remember the New Earth Nation Treaty. This is the first time in the history of recorded history that we, the people, have been invited to sign a peace treaty ourselves. It's always before our representatives or 2 or 3 people who are sent over to Paris to sign a treaty on behalf of everybody else. This is our treaty. This is our peace treaty, and every single signature that goes on that treaty says, I am one of the people. I'm proud to be one of the people. I realize what's going on here, and this is my vote
for
peace. It's just a, you know, it's a very, very simple thing, but it's a very, very powerful thing that changes your own consciousness as you read it and you contemplate it, and then you take the time to sign it. You know, all of these little things, it feels like such little things, but it's not. It's very powerful, and, you know, it's our intention to the universe. It's each one of us stepping up and doing and being and shining as the beautiful spirits every single one of us are. You know, we sometimes forget what a beautiful, beautiful opportunity we have to be here on this earth at this particular point in time. Because for the first time in the history of our species, we're moving in an evolutionary spiral that's not going to quit. I know it. And you know it. You can feel it within your soul. You can feel it with every fiber of your being. Whether you know, sometimes you just don't even realize it. You just know that there is a quickening. There's something going on and that you're a part of it. It's the most exciting time to be alive for me. I mean, you know, I've been in this work all of my life, you know. I started when I was real, real young. I've been a researcher. I've been I've been on the cutting edge of all of this stuff. I shared a podium with Barbara Marx Hubbard way back in the 80s. So I've been doing this, you know, all of my life. So I've been able to see, and sometimes it feels like things are moving so slow. But let me tell you something, it's moving at warp speed now.
Warp speed.
Because our intention is coming out, and we're gaining that momentum as we all work together. And I saw that, and I felt it in North Carolina this week.
I did too, and I can be a witness and testify with my signature that people came together and shared heart. Shared heart at such a level. And I want to say a little something on a more of a cosmic joke. At the very end of the event, there was a tornado warning and a massive, massive, massive storm. And we were in a campground that has a whole bunch of trailers. And what everyone experienced at that event, to have that thunderstorm, that tornado there, because one of the things that I teach is that weather is our uncollective consciousness coming together, making collective patterns. And for me as the person that I am, to see that cosmic joke, and to realize that it had taken all of that energy, all of that heart space, all of that coming together, and spread it to everyone. That's where I realized something really, really special happened at that event.
Oh,
and on another note, I want to dedicate this show to a very, very special person to me, Dave Corso of Wolf Spirit Radio. He passed on this last Saturday, and I want to say to him and to his family, thank you very much for your service to this country, to this world, and to all those things you never got to speak about. In the next coming weeks, I'm going to be releasing a tribute of some of the Dave Corso interviews that I did on my YouTube page, as well as my Galactic History and homepage. Dave's a very, very special person. I'd like them to go and Google his name, Dave Corso, C-O-R-S-O. Learn about this person. You can check out my Facebook page, too. I have a little bit of a thread there acknowledging Dave and some of his interviews. And there's some interviews that I've had with Dave and a number of other very important people that were only broadcast live once, and they were never put into the archives. And Dave asked me a long time ago to hold on to those things, that they would be really special in the future. And I went back and listened to them late Sunday or Monday when it hit me that he had passed. He had helped me get started back into radio and gave me a tremendous opportunity. And many of those people at Wolf Spirit Radio, I feel for you. You lost a great person. And when those videos come out, we're going to do what we meant to do, Dave. You may have not lived long enough to see the freedom that you had been fighting for so many years, but in spirit, you will share it with us.
Oh, yes. You know, there were really some very special things that happened over the course of the week. And for you, that certainly was one of those things that really just, you know, when you lose somebody that is so, so important to you, you really do have to take time and just acknowledge the passing, acknowledge the grief, you know, feel it in your heart, because that's part of who we are as humanity. And so, you know, there were several things. The other thing that was specifically very telling this week was a ruling that came down from D.C. that the judges were not upholding. The Supreme Court judges had ruled that the gun laws in D.C. were unconstitutional, and that the judges were still, you know, not paying any attention to the fact that the Supreme Court ruled that those laws were unconstitutional. This is what Rod's dealing with in D.C. And then to come out and get that ruling on Saturday, it was just a real, real interesting, you know, a very, very big deal for all of us who were there at the seminar. And then they put a 90-day moratorium on it. So it's like, good gracious.
Right.
You know,
and ironically,
and then they do that, yeah.
Ironically, we have footage of Rod dancing when he got told about the case.
Yeah, yeah, we did.
Actually dancing. It was to see the absolute joy on his expression and dancing. And I mean, dancing in his place, the best that Rod Clask dance that he can do of joy.
Well, I tell you what, he is the most incredible human. You know, I love that man with a passion. He gives so much to all of the people who study with him and everybody else. He just absolutely, you know, he puts his whole heart into what he does. And anybody who works with him, anybody who studies with him, anybody who knows him, you know, this is just a big part of it. And he just opened his heart to all of us in such a big way this past week. And it's really just fun to be in his energy and to work with him. So I just want to give a shout out to Rod and Dwight Class and to Carl Weston and Jennifer Williams and Lamont and Jenny and Wes and Paul and Nadine, who is going to be helping us with New Earth Nation, and Santi and Tanush and Andrew and my husband Jerry, and you know, who else have I missed? Golly, the ones who were just so much a part of this event for all of us.
We had.
So if I know I've missed somebody, so I'm thinking about all of you.
Well, we had an absolute blast of a time, and we're going to call this show a day here. We have covered a lot of topics. Next Friday, we'll continue our adventures into sovereignty. Everyone, look forward to your email inbox if those are on the waiting on the email list. And for those here at the Mega Giant BBS Radio, we'll be posting midweek or early week who our guest is going to be. And they are going to be some mind-blowing, mind-altering, reality-bending guests who are going to show you about law, sovereignty, and how it all went wrong. Thanks a lot, everybody.
Yep.
And we will be back next week on the Mega Giant.
Good night.
BBS.
Good night, all.
Good night, all.
Thank you. Thank you, Andrew.